Heavenly Father, it is yet again with much thankfulness in our hearts that we do find ourselves in thy house this evening, gathered around thy living and holy word, and ready, dear Father, to look into it and to see, dear Father, what thou wouldst have for us. We trust that every time we open thy word, that we will receive a blessing from thee, and that we will be encouraged and strengthened in our faith, dear Father. And we trust that the same will be true in this evening with thy help alone. For this I do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For tonight's reading and meditation, I desire to turn to the book of Romans and read chapter number 5, the entire chapter. Romans chapter 5.
Римляни на посланица Светог апостола Павла, пета глава.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless the reading of his word, and may we bow before him. The book of Romans speaks of many different topics. We can look in different chapters and get a different picture, a different idea of what God is asking from us. But all in all, as a whole, the tone of this book is positive. It's practical. It teaches us how we should live as Christians and what things we should do and what things we should not do. It's very practical for our everyday lives. And this chapter is as well that we have read. It's very practical for us, but also very positive. The Word of God gives us at times admonishment and correction, but at times it gives us hope and comfort. And that's what God does to each and every one of us. He gives us what we need and when we need it at the right time. We believe that. And this chapter that we have read is, again, a chapter that gives us comfort. And that's how it starts in verse 1, where it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justified. To be justified means to be made pure, to be made clean, to be made innocent. We are made pure, we are made as if we are innocent by faith. It is through faith that we can be cleansed, we can be washed. It is not by any works that we can do, but it is only by faith. It was mentioned in one of the sermons on Sunday that we do, as Christians, we do good works because we are saved, not to be saved, but because we are saved, and there's a difference. There's nothing we can do, nothing that we can work that will make us gain salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God that comes only by faith, by believing in God, by believing that His promises are true and are sure. Then we are justified. Then we are again made pure, made innocent. It only comes through faith. And that is what was said in the previous chapter as well, Romans chapter 4, where it speaks a lot about Abraham. And it says, for in the second verse in the previous chapter, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." And that's true for us as well. If we want to do some good deed, we will be glorified by others, but before God we won't. God will glory in us. God will glory with us only if we have a faith, not works. And it says, continues in verse 3 of the previous chapter, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Abraham's righteousness before God came through his faith. He believed God. He believed that God's plan for his life was perfect. He did not doubt it. And that's why he is known as the father of faith. He believed God, and that faith, that belief, made him righteous in God's sight. Abraham did many, we would say, good works. He did many things in which he listened to God, but he was saved. He was counted as holy by his righteousness, or by his faith. And that's what this first verse in chapter 5 is saying as well. We are justified only by faith. And when we have this faith, and when we are justified, then God gives us peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace, even as it says, comes only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace cannot be found in this world. We can seek it our whole lives, and we'll never find any peace, never find any joy. All we'll find is temporary pleasure that is here one moment and gone the next. But peace, a true peace of knowing that God is in control of this world and of our lives, comes only through Him, and comes only again through faith. And this positive tune continues here in the second verse, where it says, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So that he's saying here that, again, through faith, by faith, we enter into this state of grace wherein we stand. We as God's children stand only because of God's grace. We do not stand because of our own righteousness. We know that we have none. We stand only through the grace of God. Without the grace of God, there would not be one person this earth left standing. Not one believer or unbeliever. No one would be left standing before God without His grace. It is by His grace that we have new life, that we have new strength, that we have chances to correct our mistakes, our sins, and to do better, to grow in Him. It is in this grace wherein we stand, which again comes only, this access comes only by faith. And because we have grace, and because we are allowed to stand, we have hope in the glory of God. Hope that this world, again, cannot give. A very positive statement here, again, in verse 2. We have hope in God's glory. God's glory is when He sees a child of His that chooses willingly to serve His Creator and not Himself. That is God's glory through us. And He continues and He says, "We do not only do we hope in the glory of God, but He says we glory in tribulations also, or trials, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So again, it comes full circle back to hope. We go through trials and tribulations in our lives, we gain more experience, and that is a positive thing. We are constantly learning in our lives. We should never be, as Christians, as God's people, we should never be stuck in a rut. We should always be growing, always be drawing closer unto Him, always learning more of His ways. And if we do that, then we will gain more experience and we will gain even more hope. And it says in verse 5 that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This hope that God gives unto us will never make us ashamed. We'll never feel as if we have done something that is a waste of time. We'll never feel as if this hope is not something that should be shared with the world. We will feel the exact opposite. We will feel that we have this hope because of God, and we will want to share it. It will never make us ashamed. We will want to share with others our experiences of how God has brought us through our lives, and how He has given us more hope each and every day. And again, this chapter speaks much of hope, a positive theme, a positive message of hope. And this week, I was thinking a lot about the hymn in the Blue Book, or the junior hymnal that we all, I believe, love and know to sing, where it says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." That should give us a comfort, a peace, to know that our hope is built on Jesus' blood and His righteousness, not on our own. If our hope in this life were built on our own righteousness, then we would have nothing to glory in. We would have no hope. The hope would be vanished completely. The first time we would sin, the first time we would disobey God's will for our lives, that hope would be gone. But thanks be to God that that hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. The best thing that God could possibly give unto us is His Son. He spared no expense for us. He sent the best gift He could have for us, His Son. And because of His Son, we have this hope. The hymn continues and it says, "All other ground is sinking sand." Anything else that we want to build our house of faith, our house of hope on in this world is just but sinking sand. Nothing has that stable foundation like Jesus, His righteousness. We are dependent on Him and never again in our own righteousness. That should give us such a comfort, such a peace. And he continues here in the next few verses where he describes God's love for us. His love that we cannot possibly describe, where he says that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And it describes how it is very rare that a man will give his life for another man. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died, laid down his life for the whole world, because he knew we needed him. He knew that without him, we were hopeless. Without him, we had no hope. We had no strength. It says, while we were without strength, Christ died for us. The ungodly, that was who we were without him. We were ungodly, serving ourselves, serving the lusts of the flesh, and not him. But while we were yet sinners, while we were choosing to disobey him, Christ died for us. How great of a love he has for us that we can never describe. And he is never asking us to describe it. All he is asking us to do is to give him thanks for that love and to serve him to the best of our abilities. That's what God is asking of us. And in verse 9, he continues and he says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So in verse 1, we read that we are justified, or again, made pure, made clean by faith. And in verse 9, it says we are justified by his blood. But this is not a contradiction. We are justified by faith and by the blood of Christ, one and the other. Because we know there's only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we are made pure. We are washed, we know, in the blood of the Lamb. That is what makes us pure. But that also must come with faith. If we have no faith that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us, then we will not be cleansed. It's that simple. So verse 1 and verse 9, even though they use different words to describe how we are justified, There is no contradiction. It's one and the same. We have to have a faith, a pure, unfeigned faith, that Jesus' blood can cleanse us, can make us whole. When we are in our moments of sin, we are in our moments where we need him the most, or we feel we have no strength, that's when God is asking us to have faith that Jesus can get us through that moment, that his blood was shed for us, for that moment, to give us a way to return unto him, not with our own righteousness, but again, in his righteousness. When we are buried in baptism and washed in water, that does nothing for us if we don't have that faith. That faith that water, which symbolizes the blood of Christ, cleanses us. So these two verses really go together. And in the hymn that I mentioned before, in the blue books, the last verse says, speaking of Christ's return, it says, "When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, and faultless stand before the throne." When we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then our sin is washed away. Our sin is covered by his righteousness. God has given us his righteousness that we would not be serving self anymore. So not only did God give us his Son to shed his blood for us, that we would be washed in his blood, that our sins would be washed away, but he also is giving us Jesus Christ's righteousness, that we'd be clothed with that. And when we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, then we can go forward in our lives, not going back into our old sinful state. Because if God did not give us the righteousness of his Son, then all we would do is be washed in the blood of the Lamb and then continue to sin. We would fill up that slate that was just wiped clean. But when we have the righteousness of Christ, when we are clothed in his righteousness, then we have a hope that we can go forward no longer living for self, but living for him. In Psalm 32, the first verse, it's written, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." That is us. Our transgression, our faults, our sins are forgiven, and they are covered when we are clothed upon with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we will then stand faultless before the throne, as the hymn writer has written. Imagine that. We, as dirty and filthy and despicable as we have lived, we can be found faultless, pure, standing before the throne of God when we are clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ. How much comfort and peace that should give us in our lives when we doubt, when we fear, when we think we're not good enough. And none of us are. None of us are good enough. None of us ever will be good enough. But God is not asking us to be perfect. He's asking us to strengthen ourselves daily. He's not looking for perfection, but he's looking for his righteousness to be clothed upon us. He knows we will sin. That does not make that sin that we commit acceptable. At no time will God accept sin. At no time will it be right in his sight. But God also knows that we are in the flesh. He knows that we will have times when we lack faith, when we lack the full picture. When we look in the world around about us and we get scared, we are filled with fear. He knows that will happen. That doesn't make it acceptable, but he gives us his righteousness that we would be clothed upon with that, and that we would go forward in our lives with a new hope, a newfound hope, and a newfound faith in him. And we can use that hope that we have in him to be examples, to be lights in this sin-darkened world that needs hope. Hope that can be found, again, nowhere in this world. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we read, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That we should always be ready. When the world round about us seems crazy, when people around about us seem to be in fear and a state of angst, filled with anxiety, we as God's people know that this life is only temporal. It will pass. Death for us is only a beginning. It's a beginning of a life with him forever, if we were faithful unto him. Again, how much comfort that should give us. And then when everyone around about us is filled with anxiety and fear, we as God's people must be strong and have that faith, have that hope within us, and that we should always be ready to answer. why we have this hope. When someone asks us why we are not in fear, why we are not scared of whatever it may be, whatever event we may find around about us. Whenever someone asks us why we are not in fear, let's always be ready to give an answer. To give an answer of why we have this hope. We have this hope because we're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ through faith. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us, and that we have been washed in that blood. How much hope and comfort that should give us in our times when we ourselves need it the most, in our times when we ourselves lose sight of what is important in life, when we lose sight of the fact that God is in control of everything. And I believe we all do. I know I do myself as well. We go through ups and downs. At some points in our lives, we feel very strong. We feel that God is with us, and we feel that we can do no wrong. And then there are other times when we completely lack faith, and we serve self. And then what do? We ultimately fall into sin. And the Bible teaches us that the end of that sin, if we continue in that state of sin, that it will lead to death. Sin can lead to nothing else but death. But we have a faith in Him. A faith in Him that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us, that He can wash us. Wash us from that sin that we have committed, and renew us, and clothe us with His righteousness, that we would no longer serve self. Again, how much comfort that should give us, how much strength that should give us in our lives. It continues on here, and it describes how Adam and Jesus Christ were so different and yet similar. In verse 12, it describes how by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Because of Adam, because of Adam's disobedience, because of his sin, the human race was cursed. Because of his sin. And yet, thanks be to God that through this one man, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, by Him, by one man, through Him, the whole world can have life. So even though we did not commit the same sin that Adam did, the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. We have all come short of the glory of God. Not one of us is perfect. Not one of us has ever been perfect. Not one of us will ever be perfect. But God is giving us this strength and comfort to know that we are no longer cursed. We're no longer in the bonds of Satan. After the reading, we pray together that we would not be led back into the bondage of Satan. We have all been brought out of sin. We have all been brought out of a life serving self. And we have been brought into this new life serving Jesus Christ. Why would we ever want to draw back to that life? That life that had no hope. At no point in our sinful lives before we knew Jesus Christ, at no point do we have a hope. We'll just continue to sin, and that will lead unto death. But thanks be to God that He had a plan for us. And that's what He's describing here in verse 14. Even though we did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression, we can be made whole. No matter what sin we have committed in our lives, that sin deserves death. That's what sin leads to, and that's what sin deserves, as we also heard on Sunday. If we live a life full of sin, a life full of disobedience, we know what the end of that life will be. It will be death. When we stand before God and we are not clothed upon with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, what will God see when He looks at us? He won't see His Son. He won't see someone who humbled Himself and took up His cross and followed after Jesus Christ daily. If we live for self, at the judgment day, God will see nothing but a selfish person. A selfish person who wanted nothing to do with this free gift, this gift of grace that was offered. And how is there then hope of salvation? God would not be God if He could accept us into His kingdom when we are filled with sin, when our hearts are not pure. If we have a hatred towards someone else, how can we then expect to be with God, who is holy and righteous and perfect? How can we expect to be with Him forever when we are not clothed upon again with that righteousness of Jesus Christ? So even though many chapters in the Bible and many chapters again in this book of Romans admonish us. There are also many chapters that give us hope. And we must cling to those chapters. We must read them with a faith that these things are written for us. All scripture we read is given by inspiration of God. Everything in the Bible is here for a reason, to strengthen us, to help us learn, to help us grow, to understand God and his ways better. And that's what's written in Romans, the 15th chapter, where it says in verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." That's what God's scriptures, learning and reading God's scriptures should do to us. It should give us this hope. This hope to know that many have lived before us. Millions, even billions of people have lived before us. And they've all gone through the same experiences that we do, the same ups and downs, the same trials, the same temptations. And many of their sins and failures are written here in the Bible. Not so that we can read them and then be comforted that we are not perfect either. No, but we are to learn. We are to learn from others' failures, from others' sins, and to try our best to do better, to humble ourselves. If we look into God's word and we read the mistakes of others and think, oh, that gives me a peace because I'm also not perfect, then we are not reading it with the right mindset. If we read the sins and failures of other people in the Bible, we should then learn from those experiences, learn how they did not do right things, learn how they did not think godly, think spiritual thoughts. We have many good examples of many believers who ran away, in some cases, completely ran away from sin, whether it was literally or figuratively. They ran from sin. Then we have other examples of people who had no interest in serving God. They lost their focus and they fell into sin. So when we read these examples, let's be strengthened, let's be encouraged that God knows what we're going through and that he can provide a way of escape from any temptation that comes our way. God will give us a way of escape. So at no point is it acceptable for us to fall into sin, because all that means is that we were not living for God, but we were living for self. And God knows that we will go through those times. And he's telling us to get away from those thoughts, to get away from those sins, to be drawn out of this world, to be drawn into a life of service with him. And that will give us hope. That will give us comfort. That again, this world, nothing in this world, nothing that the devil has to offer unto us can ever give. But God gives us a hope. A hope that, again, maketh not ashamed. Any work that we do for the Lord is not to gain salvation, but is because we are saved that we do those things, as we mentioned earlier. We got to give us a strength daily to desire to serve him, to be used for his kingdom. If we have been bought with a great price, let us also go forward in our lives with this new strength that we have in Jesus Christ. And let's look for opportunities that we have to serve him to the best of our abilities, that we would give him all the honor and the glory that he is worthy of. May God bless his word in this evening hour. Amen.